Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. The Reverend Marcus Zill is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Romans chapter 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing us riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We know of no other God except the Lord in whom we trust. He does not despise us. Let us seek his mercy with tears and humble ourselves before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day.
Honor your father and
your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's
wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus. So ultimately, folks, we hear from the apostle today that there are two kinds of righteousness. That which you do and that which God does. The righteousness of works and the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of the law and the righteousness of the gospel. The righteousness of the law works this way. Do it and you will live. It's that simple. That's great, isn't it? It's what everybody seems to want out of religion anyways. Look, just tell me what I have to do. Keep it simple. Well, okay. Have at it. Do it. Do it all. Do the law. Keep the commandments, all of them, perfectly, and you'll live. There you go. Religion just the way you want it. Nice and easy. On the other hand, the religion of the gospel, the righteousness of the gospel, works this way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The law says do and live. The gospel says believe and live. Of course, the problem is that you can't do the law. Now, you can do some of it, at least outwardly at least, but it's an all or nothing proposition, folks. Doesn't seem fair, though. It seems like you should at least get credit for basically being a pretty good person, doesn't it? The law says, do it and you will live. Don't do it, you die. The law doesn't say, be as good a person as you can be and you'll live. It doesn't say, try hard and you will live. It doesn't say, do it better than most and you will live. You must do it all. Doesn't seem particularly fair. Why should one minor infraction make you guilty of breaking the whole law entirely? I mean, don't you get credit for anything? Don't we have a loyalty program around here? You're at chapel, for goodness sakes. You're listening on the radio. That makes me better than most, right? Well, the bottom line is this. Sin is ultimately, as strange as it sounds, not about sinning. Stay with me. The sins we commit in thought, word, and deed are symptoms of the condition of sin. Sometimes the symptoms are raging. Sometimes they are pretty mild. But rest assured, and you all know this, there's no such thing as having a partial disease. You either have the disease or you don't. Whether it manifests itself fully at all times or even seems undetectable to the human eye. But we've all had it since we were conceived. It's in our spiritual DNA as children of Adam. That is why Paul elsewhere cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" And so let's put this idea aside that there is such a thing as being just a little bit of a sinner. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that is why one sin makes you guilty of breaking the whole law. It is a symptom of a total and deep corruption of your humanity, from head to toe, body and soul, everything. And that's why the righteousness of the law won't work for a sinner, because a sinner can't do the righteousness of the law. And that's why it is no good for us to seek to hold up our works before God. They are sinful, full of sin, even when they otherwise might appear outwardly good. Thanks be to God. That is why God, not according to his fairness, but according to his mercy, has provided another kind of righteousness, a totally different way, the righteousness of faith. This is not the righteousness that you do, but the righteousness that Christ does for you and Christ gives to you. This is not about your going to God, but God stepping into your flesh and coming to you. Christ does it all. He comes down, he lives, he suffers, he dies, he rises, he ascends, he does it all for you. His doing is finished, just as he said. And he gives you that finished work of righteousness as a free gift by faith in him. And so you stand before God, not according to your righteousness, but with the righteousness that is not your own. the righteousness instead that belongs to Christ and is yours by faith. It's kind of like wearing a Jesus suit. When God looks at you, he sees nothing but his Son. You see, ultimately, it's the word of faith, as Paul says, and not the word of works. Words go in, words come out. It's the word of faith that goes out from mouths sent by God and into ears that changes minds and creates new hearts that believe that Jesus' death and resurrection are yours and that rattle out of you from the new heart of faith as the confession, Jesus is Lord. Words in, confession out. It's like breathing, really. Inhale, exhale. And God takes sin-dead clay with his living, breathing word, lifeless, and breathes life into it and exhales confession that Jesus is Lord. Faith comes by hearing, folks, because God's word is powerful, and frankly, we don't give it enough credit. The word is a powerful faith-creating, faith-enlivening word that calls into being out of nothing. The word that says, let there be light, and there is. The word that takes a valley of dry bones and regenerates it into a mighty army. That same powerful word of faith was spoken over you in the waters of your baptism, and you were born again from above in the water. And you became a child of God, and you were clothed not with your own works, but with the robe of Christ's work for you in the water. Finally, faith, as you know, always has an object. You don't just have faith. I know everybody likes to say, oh, you got to believe, you got to have faith. You have to have faith in something. You have to have trust in something. Saving faith is faith in Jesus, not that he exists or that he died and rose, though that's true, whether you believe it or not. Saving faith is faith that what Jesus did, he did for all, and that he did for you, and that you stand before God, even though you are still very much 100% sinner. You stand before God also very much 100% justified, righteous for Jesus' sake. Dear loved ones, the word of faith is near you, as Paul says, nearer than you realize. It is, as he says, in your ears, in your heart, and on your lips. Why? Because God put it there. And the word that says you're righteous and holy before God is there for Jesus' sake. Trust it, believe it, and live. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Today we pray for Chaplain Matthew Christensen, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.